everybody. Welcome to the Transpose Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. And one more time, I'm flying solo. I am back from vacation. Not very well rested, but that's okay. I wanted to thank AJ for being my guest host last week, co-hosting it with me while we were on vacation. I also want to thank my nephew Braden for doing the top five. That was a lot of fun. And it's been one of those things that we got a lot of people commenting on about how good it was. And I'm going to be honest, I always do like the top five. But today, it is going to be, again, another shorter show. As you probably have noticed, the shows have kind of been fluctuating in length, anywhere from the usual hour and a half to an hour to even a few that are 30 minutes. I said it in the past, the reason they're kind of shorter is it's just me and nobody really wants to listen to me ramble for an hour and a half. So that's what it is. Normally, at the beginning of the shows, we have Patreon subscribers to thank and give a shout out. And once again, we don't have any. None. Come on. It'll be fun. What do you got to lose? Just join our Patreon. Even if it's only for a dollar. Just join it. Patreon.com/TransposePod. I'm trying to find my energy. It's been in a very emotional week for me. Lots of ups and downs. And, well, to be honest, today, that's kind of what our show is about. Today, I want to talk about something I have a lot of experience with here. And that's emotional roller coasters. This isn't something that is a trans-exclusive issue either. While we trans women are known for it, it also affects cis women, cisgendered women, and can even be an issue for both trans and cis men. At some point in our lives, we all struggle with this. I'm not going to go into what the term emotional roller coaster means, because I think we all know what the hell I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, then I got bad news for you. You might be a robot. I'm just saying, if you don't know about it, you're probably a robot. And that's okay. But not really. So I've dealt with this, like many trans women, a lot. Even very recently, I had a pretty major ride on the roller coaster while recently on vacation. It was kind of insane. And I mean that. Kind of insane. I would go from being happy and laughing and on top of the world, you know, and then 30 seconds later, just doom, gloom, and despair. And it usually got triggered by the smallest inconsequential shit. I mean, seriously, just the smallest, stupidest things. And I'd go from, yeah, let's go, woo, let's have some fun, to everybody hates me, I should have stayed home, why am I here, nobody loves me. And then, kind of back up a little bit. And it was all very, like I said, insane. I know this happens a lot for others too. I see it all the time on social media all the time. People post about having a great day one moment, and then it's the apocalypse the next. And I don't just mean, hey, I look great and I'm having a good day, and you all know what I mean. It's you're on the highest of highs, the happiest of happy. And then, the bottom falls out. So now there are groups of people out there that probably will criticize some of us. And maybe they criticize you for being so emotional. And I want to kind of address those people real quick and let you know that, I find people like that who will tell you you're being overly emotional, you're being too emotional. Those people fall into one of two categories. They're either cold, uncaring, emotionless robots, which they also don't understand what the roller coaster is because I just said so. And or they're actually scared to admit they're doing the exact same thing in private. It's known as deflection. Make others feel bad because you feel bad. Or I guess that's projection, not deflection. I don't know. I sometimes get my psychological terms all mixed up and twisted. But it's those people can't weigh you down. And so just keep on remembering that if someone tells you that, who cares? They can go away. We don't need them. So the emotional roller coaster, excuse me. I just cleared my throat right on air. Wow, that was bad broadcasting. it can vary in severity from one person to the next. My rides, for sure, I know, are fucking epic. I mean, total hot mess over here. Bawling my eyes out, ruined my makeup, ruining everybody's good time over stupid shit like my shoes untied. But once my shoes are tied again, yay, it's all happy and great and rainbows and... Okay, so that's kind of bullshit. I don't get all happy and rainbows and shit. But you all know what I mean. The rides on the roller coaster, they can be caused by a lot of reasons. It's not just external stuff like stress, because that happens to all of us. I mean, stress, external stress, work, family, kids, car repairs, I don't know, whatever else. Those can all be factors to it. But there's also factors that are more internal. Yeah, internal stuff. Things like chemical imbalances in the brain. Severe trauma, PTSD, is a big one. And as most of us trans women know, and I know this is usually my issue, hormone levels. I think the last one is more common to those of you listening. Those of you who haven't experienced this kind of thing yet, get ready. Because it's, it's a thing. So, the hormone imbalances and the hormone levels fluctuating, it's also something that's kind of interesting because it makes trans women and cis women so alike. Biologically, the hormone levels of women fluctuate a lot. They can go up and down in crazy distances. And these fluctuations, they're caused by a lot of reasons. They can be caused by actual biology, because, you know, that's how it is. But they happen a lot. And there's lots of reasons why. Lots of reasons why. You know? It's one of those things. Teenagers is the exact same way. You know, their hormones are fluctuating. And if you don't believe me, go watch any male stand-up comic who makes jokes about their wives and their teenage children. They always have jokes about this kind of thing, about the wife being overly emotional, the daughters being overly emotional, even the sons being overly emotional, especially when they're teenagers. Especially, you know, and teenagers, why do you think they're so hard to handle sometimes? Because their hormones are in flux. It's kind of weird. The amazing thing and maddening thing for us trans women is we have to deal with it kind of from both angles, both from like just being a woman level and kind of being a teenage level, because once you've really gotten onto HRT, you know, especially if you're a trans woman and that's what you want to do, you'll notice that they're going to fluctuate a bit. When you go to have things like lab works done, where they do blood draws, and because if you're on HRT, that's a part of your life now. And it's just that your doctors are trying to see and make sure the levels are within a range. Not, okay, this is the exact target. We want it to all be at 400. It's a range. And you can see month to month, quarter to quarter, that depending upon how you get your blood drawn, that the numbers, even when you've been on HRT for, say, a couple years, they still fluctuate and they still go up and down. Now, it's a little harder for us, because it's kind of like a second puberty. So that's where the teenage part kind of comes in, because we are flooding our bodies with these hormones. And this goes for trans men too. You know, you are trying to replace one hormone that is naturally produced in abundance with another. And those two, they conflict. And then that can cause all kinds of instability, especially emotionally. You know? Trans women and trans men, I think we have a little bit advantage over cisgendered women and men by the fact that we can kind of better control those fluctuations with our medications, but they still fluctuate. They still fluctuate in major ways, and we still have to deal with them. You know, that's just how it is. This fluctuation always will cause major changes in our moods. You know, it's the dreaded mood swing. Everybody do your air quotes just right. Stand up and do your big girl quotes. and the swing, the mood swing, something else that we don't talk a whole lot about is the fact that it can also be not just hard on us, because it is. It's stupid hard on us. I don't know about anybody else listening, but I'm gonna be honest, this past week I have cried so much. I swear to God I'm dehydrated. And I swear to God I'm going to be dehydrated until Christmas. Because just the amount, and that's hard. And that's very, very hard. You know? But it's hard also on those around us. I know we talk a lot about self-care. You got to take care of yourself. And that's very true. It is very true. And recently I had the conundrum that people were telling me to I need to take care of myself. But they also kind of remind me that if I do the things I feel like I want to do for myself, other people might be sad. And mostly it's because I want to run away and just go, I don't know, somewhere. Somewhere where no one can find me and do nothing but drink till I'm stupid. So it's kind of a balancing act, taking care of yourself and taking care of others. So those around us are also very much affected by those mood swings. I know for a fact that when I'm in a down mood, I make life difficult for just about everyone. And for all of those people who I make their life very difficult, I love you and I'm sorry. When I'm angry at everybody. When I'm sad because of something that everybody did. Little things. It just it and it can cause us to create an unnecessary tension between ourselves and our loved ones. And I know this recent vacation, I did that to AJ. And my love, I know I've said it the whole week. I know I've said it since we got home. And I'm gonna keep saying it for a while. I am sorry. And what's worse for me is I do this quite a lot. And I know others do too. I know we can project those feelings and make things hard. I had moments while on vacation where I just broke down and just all I did was lay in the bed. You know, I had gotten up, I'd gotten dressed, I had my makeup on, felt cute as hell, and nothing. Just felt, well, felt kind of like shit. I was low, I was crying. I had a lot of moments where I just felt like I just want to go home. And that's the thing was that got projected onto AJ. And I'm sorry for that. And I know I do that all the time in my fluctuations. So knowing that we do these things and feeling that we do these things, well, that can also lead us to feeling like burdens, if you will, on the ones we love. You know? And we're really not. You know, but when you get these mood swings, these ups and these downs, you kind of start to feel like we are the reason for so much stress in our loved ones' lives. You know, you feel that way. You feel like people are tired of hearing you cry. People are tired of hearing you complain. People are tired of seeing you in a huddled mass just waiting for the end or hoping for the end. And something I've learned a lot is, you know, that's not always the case, you know. Yeah, sure, they might get a little irritated, by these things. But let's face it, if our emotional instability is causing someone to stress out that much, then there's usually other issues at hand that needed to be addressed. Blah, 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 blah. Other issues at hand that need to be addressed. Enunciate. Damn, girl. I go on vacation and it's just, what the hell? Most of the time, though, our loved ones understand there is one huge fact that we all share in common. Trans women, trans men, cis women, cis men. We all share this in common. In fact, it's something that is more common to everyone. And we usually say things like results are not typical when it comes to transition, because you could take a milligram of estrogen and that's more than enough. Or somebody could need 6 milligrams of estrogen a day. Nothing in transitioning is typical or common or shared by anybody other than this one thing. And that fact is that we can't control the emotional roller coaster. We can't control it. We just can't. Okay? Yeah, sure, we can deal. We can manage. We can even take steps to lessen its impact on those around us. But when the coaster decides it wants to go, well, you don't really have much choice but to hold on and ride it out. Sometimes we can distract ourselves to make the ride easier. Sometimes nothing we do seems to help. And there are times we can delay it. I'm going to be 100% honest. It's one of those things that's, you've only delayed the inevitable, but it is what it is. You can still delay it a little bit. But, you know, like I said, sometimes nothing we do seems to help. So, the question is, how do we get through these moments? Well, I am so glad you asked, because there's a simple answer. We just do. If you ask any cisgendered woman, if you're a trans woman and you have really good sisters, and I mean cisgendered sisters, cousins, your spouse, if you're married to a woman or in a relationship with a female, if you ask them, how do you deal with this? Most of the time, because I know AJ's done it. AJ's looked at me. I've asked her, how do I deal with this shit? How do you deal with this shit? And she always says the same thing. Just do. It's part of life. It's, unfortunately, something they have to deal with. Something women have to deal with. And there's no one way to get through them. We all have different ways to get through it. You know? We always look for a way to make things slightly easier. It's just human nature. And we all wish, yeah, I'd love to have all these things without all these good things without all these bad things. But, you know, you have to take the good and the bad, you know. As trans women progress on HRT, though, sometimes sometimes the episodes of going from happiness to sadness or being on that roller coaster, those rides, they can become a little less frequent or even easier to manage. You know, again, like everything else in transition, results are not typical. I've seen some trans women on HRT for years who still have a hard time with this. And I mean, there are people on that I've seen and talked to that are, they've been on HRT for 3, 4, 5 years, and they still have the exact same kind of epic meltdowns I do. Couple of them I've talked to almost with the same frequency. So it can get better, but it doesn't always. So I don't, I mean, like I said at the beginning of this episode, even cis women still have this issue. The ups and downs, the emotional roller coaster from hell. And I think the point is, we really can't stop it, and we have to find our way through. You know, whether that's powering through or whatever. But honestly, in my humble hashtag world's greatest podcaster opinion, it's not a ride to take alone. You know? We mentioned in Tabby's episode, hobbies and activities are a great way to help manage stress. Well, they can also help you with this as well. Things like hobbies can be distractions, just long enough for that ride to calm down enough that either you don't feel it at all or you barely feel it. I do know people who say music, movies, things like that can definitely help. In my opinion, I don't like that, because I found, based on my listening style and the kind of music I listen to, yeah, I might be like in a depressed mood and I may have been crying. And a song might come on that kind of pulls me up. But then again, right after that, usually a song that comes on and it pulls me right back down. So that for me doesn't work. Doesn't mean it's not going to work for you. But that's up to you. Me, personally, when I'm having issues, I usually either grab my camera and shoot photos. If I can, or I retreat to my kitchen and I cook an experiment. And that helps lessen the effects of the ride on me. It doesn't always work, though. I'll be honest. Sometimes I break. I mean, I can break. If I'm, say, on the roller coaster and I'm baking a cake, cookies, whatever I'm doing. And it didn't come out quite right. Well, now it's gone from being a stress reliever to the thing that just pulled the brakes and, you know, released the brakes on the roller coaster car. So it doesn't always work. But again, you gotta find what works for you. You know? There is one thing that I think does help a lot, and I think there's a lot of people listening who will agree with me on this, and that is talking about it. Talking about what is bothering you. Because we all know it's. Sometimes it's small things, and small things seem just so dumb that we are upset or happy over, but it's okay. It's okay. Talking about it does help. I admit, totally admit, I am the worst person about asking for help when I'm down. When I have my little breaks, and I don't talk about this stuff a lot. I don't post on social media. I don't get up. I don't, you know, there's only, when I have a break, there are only a few people that even will know that happened. When it happened. I can usually talk about it after I'm better, I think. Yeah, better in quotes. But there's only a handful of people that know when it's happening. They're the only ones that know. When I have my breaks, I shut down. I'm not even going to lie. I shut down. I tell people to leave me alone or to not even bother with me. Because a lot of times I feel like my issue on that roller coaster, what's kicked it off, is petty, insignificant, tiny. I mean, I just went through this recently with someone. I mean, I've been bawling my eyes out because I went on vacation. I went on vacation, and just traveling it was difficult. And then I was reminded when talking to someone that, you know, as bad as it was, it could have been a lot worse. I could have had family members that are ailing. I could have stress from dealing with things such as housing, marital issues, or not even being myself, you know, all those things. I could have all that being put on me and it would be way worse. So my little problems, really, they just, to me, they didn't matter. And when I start to feel that way and I'm reminded of these things, well, that's when I usually go, I don't think you need to be bothering with me. But sometimes, certain people, and I'm right here and right now counting the number of people. I think there's only 4 people that I talk to daily, that can really get me to open up about what is actually bothering me. At the time, I'm usually pissed off that they did that. Or I get upset and I did it again. I just cleared my throat right on air. Woo! You'd think as hashtag the world's greatest podcaster, I'd know better. At the time, I hate it. I just went through this. I'm not calling someone out because I appreciate everything this person does. And I mean, I really do. I appreciate it. But I just had this with a conversation with Eric. I've mentioned him a few times on the show. And I was a little upset that I opened up to him. Because it's like, my problems are petty. I shouldn't be complaining. you know? But I'm not gonna lie. After that conversation with him, I actually felt better, even if it was only marginally. After those conversations with him or one of the other people I talked to about my issues, you know who you are. I feel better just putting it out. Riding the roller coaster, the emotional roller coaster, is a real bitch. I'm not even gonna lie, people. It's a bitch. To be honest, I am not a fan of real roller coasters. So it's one of those things, why the hell do I want to ride a metaphorical one? I don't even like the real thing. Not that I won't ride a roller coaster if I have to, for fuck's sake, why? But more and more, I realize this is a fact of my life now. It is. It is. It's something because of my transitioning that this is part of my life. When I have these moments, both AJ and Eric will tell me the same thing. And that it's usually, welcome to being a girl. And of course, I have to go, oh dear God. But still, I mean, they're kind of right. This is part of my life. You know, like I said, I don't have control over it all of the time. What I do have control over is understanding that I don't have to go on the ride alone. And I don't mean when you're sad, you make those around you sad. Don't do that. That's bad. When you're upset, don't. Don't make others upset. That is not what I mean by this at all. And I've also realized a lot lately that it's not a sign of weakness to have these breaks, to have these super highs and super lows. Okay? And it's not weakness to ask for help. We all break down. We all do because life is hard. And I'm reminded, like, things like that of one of my favorite memes I've seen on social media. And it comes around every once in a while, and it says, life is short, so tell someone you love them. But scream it in German, because life is also terrifying and confusing. And I used to just think that was funny. But let me tell you something, folks. When you get on that emotional roller coaster, it is both scary and confusing as hell. Because a lot of times, you don't even know why you're crying. You just are. You just are. I admit, I'm very stubborn. I mean, if you know me, yeah, I'm stubborn. I don't usually talk about things. I don't ask for help. But I am always reminded, constantly, almost annoyingly, by some very, very wonderful people, that asking for help when I fall is not being weak. Crying when I am sad for any reason is not weak. Feeling lost, again, is not being weak. And I've had to change my way of thinking on that. I still have issues with it. And I don't always I don't know. I guess it's sometimes very hard to admit when we have our own problems. You know, it does kind of become a little bit of what, oh hell, I can't remember what they told me. Toxic masculinity or some bullshit. Environmental issues. You know, I grew up in a home that was not exactly super supportive. You didn't show any form of weakness. If you showed weakness, well, you're lion food. You're shark bait. That's it. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is we're all going to go through this at some point. And it's important not to keep these things inside yourself too long. You know, it's also important to remember that you're not alone. You can ask for help, and it's okay to ask for help. You know, when you fall, sometimes it's hard to get back up on your own, especially if you've fallen in a hole. I don't know if anybody's actually ever done that. I have. Straight up, walked into a hole. Do you know how hard it is to get your ass out of a hole? Now imagine that. Metaphorically. I laugh because I remember how stupid it was when I fell in a hole. Because, I mean, the hole wasn't very deep, but it was deep enough to cause me trouble. But it's okay to ask for help when you fall in that hole and for someone to throw you a rope. It's okay. I would not be here if someone hadn't helped me out of that actual hole. God, I don't like talking about that because now I feel so stupid. But it is what it is. It's a good point to make. When you fall, you can ask for help. It's not being weak. It's not anything. No one will think less of you for doing so, for asking for help. And if anybody does, blah, 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 stumble on my words again. I swear, everybody, I have not been drinking. I promise I have not had a drink yet. Oh shit, I said yet. Never mind. If anybody does think less of you for asking for help, I want you to remember something. That person's an asshole. And you don't need their shit in your life. You don't need them. You don't need their drama. Because it's not wrong to ask for help. It is wrong to judge other people for asking for help. Which, again, I don't ask. But I'm trying harder. I'm trying to be better. And I know I've mentioned it on the show a lot. We're all on the same road to happiness. Our paths, they just go different ways. But they all end up at the same destination. Happiness. And sometimes our paths are going to overlap others, and it's okay. It's okay. So, just remember, the roller coaster of emotional instability sucks. And you don't always have a whole lot of control over it. In fact, most of the time, you don't have any control. Sometimes you just got to let it do what it do. And that's just the way it is. But it's okay. And you're not alone. We'll all get through this. It's part of the human experience. Or as I like to say most of the time now, c'est la vie. So is life. And if you're like me, and you're on HRT and you're a trans woman, guess what? Crying is part of your life. Because it just is. It just is. Life's not perfect. Life isn't easy. If it was perfect and easy, let's all be honest, it wouldn't be a whole hell of a lot of fun or worth doing. So do your best to ride it out if you can. And when you can't, well, always reach out. You can reach out to your loved ones. You can reach out to your friends. Or, in a really awesome segue, you can reach out to me. I'm always open. I talk to everybody. Talk to anybody about almost anything within reason. I know a couple of you got some smirks on your face. I don't know why I'm scolding people who are not even in the same room. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up because now I'm starting to ramble because I've run right past all my notes. But as the segue, if you need someone to talk to, you can always reach us. Reach me. Reach AJ. Hell, you could probably even reach Chipmunk if you wanted to. And you can reach us at TransPostPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can email us, transposepod@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter, @RobinAllura. And please, I know I say it at the beginning, but it's very important, well, to me anyway, that if you can, and here's the thing, you can also reach out to me on there too, because this place also has messaging kind of capabilities. patreon.com/transposepod. Now, I'm not trying to say I'm only going to listen if you give us money. No, that's not it at all. Some money would be nice, but still, thank you all for letting me ramble. Thank you all for listening to the show. We are still right in smack dab in the middle and taking applications for sidekicks. So, yeah. Just drop us a line. One of those things I just said. Because now I don't even remember. And thank you again, everybody, for listening to this dumpster fire we call the Transpose Podcast. I'm Robin Allura. I'll catch y'all next week.